Yeah. We're so thankful to be in this place where we can worship you. Father, I pray that each of us will have a heart and ears to listen to the message today and put it into our lives and put it to use. Father, touch us with your message today and bless Scotty as he brings it. In Jesus' name.
Promised land, he brought it into contempt. And in Isaiah's day, another king, the Assyrians, came and attacked God's people, and they basically took over those two parts of the country up there. And now those two countries, sort of like Canada, came and attacked Michigan, and now Michigan had to pay taxes to Canada. That's what it's like for them. So it says he brought them into contempt. He sort of humbled that part of God's people. He says, but in the latter time, he has made glorious the land of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. So that's that whole area there. That's basically the space between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. And some people just call it the region of Galilee. And where did Jesus do most of his ministry? That would be in Galilee. And now, we're going to jump here into verse 2 through 5 here. So just back up. But what's going to change now is Isaiah's going to jump into like an oracle. Like, his style's going to change. He's basically speaking directly from God to the people. He's got a prophecy here. He says, now the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. So that's those people now. They were in the north. They were taken over by the enemy, basically. They're walking in darkness. They're controlled by the bad guys. It's like, oh man, how much longer is Canada going to rule us? We have to go back to America, right? And so they've seen a great light. So a great light coming to their land. So it's awesome that that's where Jesus came into the world to us. And he goes on, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy like at the harvest. And they are as glad as when you divide the spoil. He said, I'm going to bring on this gift now. I'm going to do something that's going to cause you to be so glad, for you to be so happy. It's going to be like when people bring in the harvest and they have a big feast and they celebrate and everyone has a party. It's a thing that happens every year. It's almost as if like if you were to have a big party and celebrate every year, say, in December. Okay? Or it might be like when you go and talk to another nation and the army brings back all these spoils. And it's like, you were here and you just had your house and your car, they brought home 3 more cars and 10 more TVs. You're like, oh my gosh, we sent all this stuff. We sent all this multitude of riches now because we spoiled another country. And it's just like, you're just overflowing with blessings and good things and food and animals. And so, at the time of celebration, so God's saying, we're bringing this great time of celebration. And he goes on, for the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, all those who have broken just like on the day of Midian. And one of the great judges of Israel's time was Gideon. He broke basically the evil rulings of Midian. And I was like, oh, if you were oppressed, if you were a slave, and someone came and beat up your slave owners, beat up the person who ruled you and set you free, oh, how happy. So it's going to be like that. I'm going to set my people free. And he's got this really weird thing talking about war. Before we get to the verse we're talking about. He says, for every boot of the tramping warrior in the battle tumult, every gun of Roman blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. Basically what he's saying, like, people that are used to war and are tired of war, it's going to be like when the battle's over and they burn all the enemy's war stuff. Like they've got like catapults and they've got like swords and they've got like all this stuff. We just threw in a pile, we just burned all the war stuff, and the battle is over, and we throw a big party, and the people rejoice. It's going to be like that. We're going to do this thing that God is prophesying. And then here comes probably the famous verse that you hear. It's quoted in the New Testament, it's quoted in a bunch of Christmas songs, and it says this. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So sort of like saying, I'm going to bring on a time when people are going to be so happy, all this joy, all this celebration, okay? How are we going to do that? What's going to happen? Well, something to do with this child that is born. So God's going to give us we're so good about the fact that Jesus came. In fact, we're going to do this from the standpoint of, we're just going to assume that it's fundamental knowledge that we already know that Jesus saved us from our sin and have eternal life through Jesus. Because none of that is even really included in here, not explicitly. And so even beyond that, Isaiah has given us reason to celebrate this gift and how great it is. It says, for to us a child was born, and to us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, and there are four names there. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Celebrate for a second. Here's the rest of it. You know, the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold with justice and righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The five things Isaiah told us about this gift that God's giving him. How great it is. We're just going to slowly walk through it. We're going to start from the beginning to us. A child is born. To us, a son is given. Not just a child is born, but a son. A son is given. And what's important about that is, a child is given. When God came to earth in the form of a baby, in the form of a man, Jesus, he lived like us. He was tempted like us. He knew our struggles from that on. That's not like, okay, God is some cold, robotic, faraway God. He wound up the clock and walked away. It's just cold. He doesn't know. It's not like that at all. No, he came. He lived among us. He walked among us. And that's pretty important. That means that Jesus, now that he's lived among us, he both understands me and identifies with me. So, the book of Hebrews, he talks a lot about this. I'm just going to read that real quick. He says, listen, it's not like we have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted like we are, and yet without sin. It's saying, if you struggle, if you have pain, or if you have some challenges, Jesus knows how it feels. And there's a couple of places in the Bible where the enemy, the devil, he is pictured as sort of like this accuser, and it shows like a courtroom. In the courtroom, there's like two sides, right? There's like the accuser. No, God. See, this guy, he's sinned against you. He's guilty. He's mine. No, on the other side, it's got the defender. Excuse me. The defender, that's Jesus. See, he's our attorney. He's like, oh, no, Father. Yeah. And he might have sinned against you, but remember my blood. I paid for them, and they believe in me, and then they're trusting in you, Lord God. And I pay for them, Lord God. They are free and innocent. It's sort of like Jesus is defending us. He knows us in every way. Before I came here, I went to a place where we do these events called Kaizen events. That's the Japanese that it comes from, the Toyota manufacturing system. It's basically two Japanese words, Kaizen, meaning change for good or change for the better. And we did these events where basically we locked people in a room for a whole week with a problem, and we didn't come out to the problem solve. It was a very disciplined process. And we did so many, and I was involved in a lot of them, that after a while, you almost sort of feel like, oh, this problem, I've solved so many of these, I know what to do. So you walk in there kind of, honestly, just confessing, I walk in there kind of cocky sometimes, like, ah, oh, we just... But you can't. So let's say, for example, the returns department. We're not processing returns fast enough. Just go faster. You know, it's like this assumption, right, that I know what it's like for them, but I didn't really know what it's like for them. I didn't really know their problems. And so part of the Kaizen event was, first day, you learn what we're going to do for the week, and then the second day, you go down where the problem actually exists. And you take the people who work there. You can pray for me, I'm a little sick this week, or if the lights are dim and you fall asleep, and you wake up and you pray that I've got a preaching and you also remember, pray for my coffee that you're going to. But we'd go down there and we'd walk through the actual have 10 returns, and 9 of them are less than $20, are you going to spend all being with that if you hail as one that's worth $10,000? And I didn't know that until I came here and we walked through it ourselves. And that's when he's like, oh. So he starts to feel the pain. And so that's what Jesus did. He came down, God sent us a child who knows us and identifies with us and empathizes. And when you pray and he hears your words, he can feel what you're saying to you because he knows your struggles. Next thing it says is the government will be on his shoulders. And that's just a really poetic way of saying that Jesus rules. Okay? That's cool. It's kind of like, okay, you're sending someone, and it's not just that they have good intentions. It's not just that they know us or that they empathize with us. No, they're also going to have the power to do something about it. It's kind of like when I was a kid, I was with my grandpa, and we'd be working out behind the tractor or something. And he's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to do this thing here. He's like, no, you're going to get hurt. Like, oh, no, no, grandpa. See, what I did was I hooked it up so it can't hurt me. No, kid, you're going to hurt yourself. It's like, no, Sam, I figured it out. He's like, listen, kid, dead right or dead wrong, you're still dead. And I'm like, that's genius. Right? But just, he's just saying, listen, I care about you, and whether you're smart enough to figure it out or not, let's just do things for me. And it's like, my grandpa cares about me, and he's wise. And so I'm like, man, why can't he be president? You know? And you just have this idea like, okay, it's not just that he's good. It's not just that he cares. But he also has the power to do something good. To take the things that he intends to do and really make them happen. God gave him the authority to do that. And in our case, he gave Jesus the authority to take away our sins and forgive us. One time Jesus forgave a man who was lame. And so his friends brought him to Jesus and it was so crappy, they crawled up on the roof for Jesus' death and ripped open the hole in the roof. They let him find out the mat. And Jesus is like, wow, these guys are doing everything they can to get their friends paid. They just have so much faith that I can help them. Wow, look at that. And so there's a guy is coming out of the ceiling, and all those teachers and scribes and all those crowds in this little tiny house, cramming in there, and coming down. And he's like, wow, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. You have faith in me, just like you should. And the people in the room were like, huh, who does this guy think he is? Forgiving sins, only God can do that. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said, listen, which do you think is harder? For you to say your sins are forgiven, or to have someone, or to tell him to get up and walk this tiny person? So he commanded that person to get up and walk, and healed right in front of their eyes, just to show, listen, the Son of Man, the Son of God, has authority to do these good things. So, your Lord, not only is good, not only does he have good intentions, not only does he identify with you, but he has the authority to do the good. A very famous saying about the kingdom of God probably existed before I was even alive. We just talked about it the other day in our prayer meeting. Something about the kingdom of God is the saying called already but not yet. So here we are, Christians, worshiping God we don't see yet. Our Lord Jesus, who he has all the power, he really does rule, but there are still bad things going on, and people are still blaspheming him and sitting against him. It's like, God, if you have the power, why don't you do something? You see, the idea is his kingdom is already here. But it's not yet here in all the fullness of what it's going to be someday. And so the example that Pastor Bill used was D-Day. When we took the shore, and D-Day was the hardest thing we've ever done. But once we did it, even though there were other battles, the war was over. The war was decided. After that, it was just a matter of time. So it's kind of like that way Jesus rules right now. There are still some battles going on where the devil's going to throw his temper tantrum, do everything he can just to frustrate Jesus and his followers. The war is decided. Jesus has total authority because he rules. Next thing is Isaiah quotes four names that are given to this son, this child is born, this gift that's given. And he says he's going to be a wonderful counselor, a mighty think so. It's sort of like when Steve Jobs introduced the iPhone. That's the iconic picture I remember when Steve introduced the iPhone. Steve had children, but he created the iPhone. And now, there's iPhones all over the place. I have one in my pocket. I've seen several in this room tonight. And Steve Jobs is now the father of iPhone. In the same way, Jesus is starting this kingdom. He's God gave this gift where these people are going to be reconciled to God. Like we sin, we were separated, but because of Jesus, he started a new people. And now we have peace with God. And God loves us and he takes to heaven with him. Now it's like Jesus is the father of this new nation, this new people. And so, unlike Steve, someday, the iPhone will be gone. It's unthinkable right now. The iPhone's passed away. And Steve Jobs will be the father. Surely it doesn't exist anymore. But unlike that, Jesus will be an everlasting father. A father of something that goes on forever and ever. Also, he'll be called Mighty God. Now, Jehovah's Witness will be quick to tell you that just because it has the word God in the name, it doesn't mean that Jesus was divine. For example, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, has the word God in his name. Ezekiel, the Hebrew word for God is El. And Ezekiel's name means, the Lord is my strength, God is my strength. So some could say, well, that doesn't mean he's divine. It just means God is mighty, or mighty is God, or whatever. In this case, that would be one mistake. In fact, just one chapter later, God uses the exact same name to name himself. Mighty God. The literal Hebrew word for right there. And God is very, how do I say this? He's very particular about his name. He never, ever shares it with anyone. In fact, he so calls us to respect his name that if you read your Bible, I can take you see the word L-O-R-D in all capitals. That's where, when we had the scriptures, they basically didn't write out the Lord's name because it was so holy. They didn't want anyone to accidentally say it in a bad way. And so technically, we don't even have the Lord's name written down anywhere that we know of on earth. What they did was, they wrote basically not like an initial, but just four letters on his name. So we think it's Yahweh. But the Bible's like, how are we going to translate this? So they just put, because God is so particular about his name, but he's sharing his name with this person, with Jesus, with this gift that he's given to us. That is how high and mighty that Jesus is. That's how much God is making out his name. God never ever calls himself Abraham, or God never ever calls himself Moses, and he never shares a next one is Wonderful Counselor. That was a pretty cool one, actually, because Wonderful Counselor, it doesn't just mean, okay, if you get your school counselor, he's a really nice guy. No, what it means is, it almost basically means a wonder-working wise man. And so, whoever this guy is, whoever God is saying, he's going to do mighty works, and he's going to have this great wisdom with him. So he's going to be someone that you'd be willing to follow because he does mighty things, he proves who he is. I'll be the Prince of Peace. The other time there's a kingdom and a new king, well, prince, everyone almost promises peace, everybody wants peace. But this prince is going to be one who actually brings peace. There's going to be good. The next thing he said is, the next thing Isaiah says is, he's going to be on the throne of David, his kingdom will have no end. And basically, what that means is, anyone who is in his kingdom, what that means is, this is our end game. It's kind of like, let's just say, if we were to go and campaign for our favorite presidential candidate this year or next year, then we work really hard. We bring all the best of the best in, and we strategize, we plan, and we give donors, we spend the money wisely, we do everything we can, and it just works out that our presidential candidate, he gets elected. Oh, yes, we won. We won. Isn't that so good for a whole 4 years? And then after that, I don't know, I'll try again. Because it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. It doesn't go long. In fact, Israel was known for, they had some good kings, they had some bad kings.
Isaiah's day when he's prophesying that a very bad king is named Ahaz. And his wife was Jezebel. In fact, those 2 names, I would just bet that you probably don't know anyone named those names. It's like there's not many people named Judas, because the name just carries such bad feelings with it because of its history. But I know lots of people named David. I know lots of people named Adam. I know lots of people named after good people. I even met Moses. Met several Noahs. But I've never met an Ahaz, or a Jezebel, or a Judas. And what's nice is to know that not only am I going to, not only is God going to give this gift, He's going to care about us and know us. He's going to know what we're like. Not only is He going to have the power to do something good, but it's not like this is a temporary solution. It's not like when God just sent His prophets, and then the prophet died, and then God will need somebody new. I'm going to give you someone who's going to be with you forever, wherever you're at. That's the gift that I know. Last thing that Isaiah tells us is this gift that God is giving. So He's going to be, is that the zeal of the Lord is going to do it. There's lots of things in this life that we can learn or miss out on, but this gift is going to be given whether we are good or bad, whether we love God or hate God, no matter what, the gift will be given. We might not accept it, we might not make use of it, but we don't have, it doesn't depend on us. God will do it. And it's something that we can depend on if we choose to make use of the gift. The gift will be there. It's kind of like, okay, it's my birthday, and I know I'm going to get the car. No. See, my dad owns a car dealership. Okay? And he's like the most powerful guy in town. He told me, he's been excited to get it for me. Nothing is going to stop me from getting this car. Because my dad has the power to do it. And he's passionate to do it. The same way it's like, God, not only is He strong enough, but He loves us so much. He's so passionate. He's going to make sure that it happens. And so this gift we have in Jesus, God makes sure that we're going to have it. And so it's kind of like, we're going to celebrate Christmas this week. And you're going to get some gifts that are better than others. You might get socks. Sorry for being fun again, but you actually got that. But I hope we remember as we go to Christmas that, you know what? Some Christmas gifts may be good, some may be mediocre, I don't know. Some holidays may be harder than others, but the whole point is we're celebrating the gift that God gave. We're celebrating Jesus, the gift that God gave, a king who knows what it's like to live as one of us, someone who is good, has the power to do good, carry it out, not just be good, has the power to do it. So that we can take comfort in Him because He's a good king. Someone who is our end game, and it doesn't depend on us to make it happen. He's there, we can trust in Him for all that. We will celebrate Christmas. That's a gift that's good enough to celebrate every year on December. This is up. Thank you. Thank you.
We should have candles. Let's go to the same side of night and enjoy this.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.